Once again, welcome everyone. We have been discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. This last week we had a special topic on the journey of soul after death and the Shraddha ceremony, right? What is the importance of doing Shraddha, how to do, what not to do. So apart from that, we have been discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto of Bhagavatam, where Brahma's creation has been described. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudhirai Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishriki Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Landhayate Giri Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarini Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshay Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Okay, so we have been discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, describing the creation done by Brahma. And last time we were discussing, after Brahma created all those sages, the 10 sons of Brahma, and then after that, the two personalities which came out of the body of Brahma, they were Manu and Satarupa. So Satarupa and Manu were born from the body and mind of Brahma, and they came out as husband and wife. And we briefly discussed, so because Manu and Satarupa, they existed in the previous Kalpa of Brahma, and now they have reappeared in this particular Kalpa, which is the current Kalpa of Brahma going on. So Manu and Satarupa, they appeared, and as they appeared, of course, as husband and wife, so Vidura inquired from Maitreya Rishi, what did Manu and Satarupa do? After they appeared from the body of Brahma, what did they do? After Manu, who is the Adi king, the first saintly king, Adi Raj, because he has taken shelter of Lord Vishnu, he has taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, Vishvakshena Ashraya. So what did he do after getting his wife? So that is his question from Maitreya. So Maitreya, why Vidura is inquiring about Manu Maharaj? Because first of all, Manu Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord. Vidura is not interested in hearing about or talking about any mundane politician. He is not interested in talking about any ordinary kings. He is talking about Manu Maharaj because Manu Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord. In this world, people want to talk about politicians, the different leaders in the society, who is the prime minister or president of the country, even though they have nothing to do with the Lord. They even defy the existence of God. They say, oh, God does not exist. Lord Ramchandra did not exist. Lord Krishna never existed. They are all mythological personalities. But people take great pleasure in hearing about such, talking about such mundane politicians, mundane leaders of the society. Vidura is saying, I am interested only in hearing about Manu Maharaj because he is a great devotee of the Lord. And hearing about the great devotees of the Lord, it brings the discussion about the Supreme Lord. So that is the perfection of life. The greatest goal of hearing. What is the greatest goal of hearing? To hear from the spiritual master about such pure devotees. Because these devotees, they always think of the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda, who is the giver of liberation. They are always placing the lotus feet of the Lord in their heart. So the perfection of life is to hear about such saintly personalities, the devoted people. Because when we hear about them, it gives us inspiration how we can also engage in the service of the Lord by following in the footsteps of these great personalities. But today's education system, of course we know, it focuses on all the mundane, materialistic things. Right? Teach about science, math, economics, all that. It has nothing to do with teaching about God and the devotees of God. So today's whole education system is mundane gossip. You hear about gossip, hear about Hollywood, Bollywood stars, politicians, sports people. So that is what today's education system focuses. It teaches people to always just think of how we can maintain ourselves in this material world, how we can earn to fill our bellies, to make our lives so-called comfortable. Original system of education was the Vedic system. To hear about from Ramayana, from Mahabharata, from Bhagavatam. So that's what people will hear. That is how the guru will teach based on these Vedic scriptures. And it covers all sort of education. Through the scriptures, we can learn everything. Actually, it teaches politics. It teaches economic development. It teaches the happiness within this material world, how to stay happy. And ultimately, it teaches how to gain the ultimate goal of life, to attain back the kingdom of God. But people are not interested in that. So Vidura is saying that is the perfection of life. The greatest goal of hearing, to hear about the devotees of the Lord. And what was Maitreya's response when Vidura inquired like this from Maitreya Rishi? What was his response? Maitreya was surcharged with the devotion. Because Maitreya actually is more on the level of Jnana. But Vidura who is on the platform of pure bhakti, when Vidura is asking such question, Maitreya is also becoming inspired to speak more and more on that lines. So he is thinking, oh, Vidura is such a great devotee of the Lord with so much humility, and Lord Krishna personally kept his feet in the lap of Vidura. So that is how glorious Vidura is. So Maitreya Rishi is also becoming inspired. What is Vidura's quality? Not only he is a great devotee of the Lord, but he is very humble. And bhakti rides on humility. Bhakti's vahan, vehicle, is humility. So one can make much more progress in spiritual life if one becomes humble, one stays humble. So Maitreya Rishi is remembering that pastime of how Krishna kept his feet in the lap of Vidura when Krishna came to Hastinapura as a peace messenger. Duryodhana wanted to invite Lord Krishna for a chappan bhog at his palace. We all know Lord Krishna rejected that proposal, saying, I don't have any special relationship with you. And on top, you are envious of my devotees. You are envious towards the Pandavas. So I will not come to your home. Rather, I will go to the house of Vidura. So Duryodhana ke chappan bhog tyage sag Vidura ghar khayo. Right? Very famous bhajan. So Lord Krishna went to the house of Vidura. And that time, Vidura was invited by Dhritarashtra for some counseling. He was just doing a show of counseling, getting counseling, but did not have any intention to follow. Right? That happens very commonly. People want to get some counseling, but that counseling is only for the outer sake only. They don't want really have any intention to follow that. So it has happened many times. People come, oh, what should we do in this particular situation? Or can you tell us what we should do? You can tell them 10 different alternatives, but they already have made up their mind. They are asking you just for the sake of asking. There is no intention to follow. So Dhritarashtra also invited Vidura for counseling, but actually he did not have any intention to follow. He is just doing a formality. Oh, you are my minister, so tell me what to do. Ultimately, he is a puppet in the hands of Duryodhana. So Lord Krishna went to the house of Vidura. That time Vidura was not there, only Vidura's wife, which is commonly referred in scriptures as Vidurani. So Vidurani was there. Lord Krishna went, Kaki, give me some food, I am hungry. And she is perplexed, oh, what should I do? All of a sudden Krishna came to my house and she is not prepared. She is in anxiety. Right? Sometimes somebody comes all of a sudden, very prominent personality at your home, and you are kind of shivering under anxiety. What should I do? Where should I make him sit? What should I offer him? So Vidurani is thinking, what should I do? And she had only bananas kept there, and she started feeding bananas to Krishna, and that also she is peeling the banana, and she is so much anxiety looking at Krishna peeling the bananas, giving the peel to Krishna and throwing the banana. And Krishna is also bhavagrahi. He is enjoying the mood of Vidurani, wife of Vidura. And he is also chewing on that peels, banana peels. He is thinking, very tasty. And at that time, Vidura came. Vidura saw what is happening. And he asked, what are you doing? You are feeding the peels of banana to Krishna. And then Vidura, he kept those peels and fed the bhojan to Lord Krishna. At that time, after eating food, Lord Krishna is talking to Vidura, and while talking, he is just keeping his feet in the lap of Vidura. Just out of love. That is a loving reciprocation. As a child, sometimes will keep your feet in the lap of the father or the lap of the uncle. And Krishna is also, even though he is much younger, he is like a son to Vidura in that Leela. And he is just keeping his feet too in the lap of Vidura out of this such a loving reciprocation. And That is what Maitreya is thinking. Vidura is such a great devotee. All the great sages, the great rishis, great munis, they try to capture the feet of the Lord in their heart. And they are not able to do that. And here, Vidura was able to have the feet of the Lord in his lap out of the special mercy of Krishna. So, Maitreya is also becoming surcharged with this bhava of bhakti. And he speaks about based on the inquiries of Vidura. So, what does Maitreya describe? That when Manu and Satarupa came out of the body of Brahma, Manu addressed Brahma. My dear father, please order us how we can serve you according to our capacity. So that it gives us name and fame in this life and we can achieve a superior destination in our next life. So Manu's humility, his surrender, submission mood towards his father. He is showing that how an ideal son should behave. His duty is to serve the parents and the parents' duty is to engage the son in the service of the Lord. So Manu is showing, please tell us, what can we do for you as per our capacities? And when somebody serves their parents, it brings in auspiciousness in their life. It brings in prosperity in their life. That's what Manu is referring to. How can we serve you so it brings name and fame for us? And we can achieve a superior destination in the next life. So, Manu is setting an example for everybody. And on this point, I mentioned briefly that in our life, we need to repay our debts. We have few debts in our life. What are those debts? We have the debt towards our parents, our ancestors, Pitrarin. We have debts towards the sages, the great sages who have given us the scriptures, the knowledge. And we have debt towards the other living entities who help us in so many different ways. And we have debt towards the devas. So a human being has so many debts to pay. And his duty is to act according to the instructions, the injunctions of the scriptures and make progress in spiritual life. Sometimes people think, my first and foremost duty is to become a bhakta. Right? People, that is a good intention, good understanding. Yes, we need to become a bhakta. But at the same time, we need to work or we need to act in these relationships which Krishna has given us in this life. People try to become devotee, but they don't have a good relationship with their parents, with their in-laws, with their brothers, with their friend circle. So in that situation, what happens? See, you are trying to become a devotee, you want to serve Krishna, but at home you are fighting with your mother-in-law, you are fighting with your father. Is that a symptom of a good devotee? Actually, Krishna does not accept such devotion. Before we become a devotee, we need to act at the basic human level. Bhakt banne se pehle manushya bano. So Manu Maharaj is showing the duty of an ideal son. Please tell us what we can do for you. And Brahma's response to Manu. Brahma was very happy. Very, very happy. Hridaya pura gadgad ho raha tha. Finally, one son. He has come forward. Please tell me what I can do for you. I asked the four Kumaras, they denied. They said, no, we don't want to do what you want, what you are saying. I told Rudra and he did something else. And now Manu has come and he is saying, please tell us what we can do. Brahma was very happy. He addressed Manu Maharaj, you have the great qualities of an ideal son. I am very pleased with you. and your wife. My blessings unto you. Like generally parents, right, when the children are very submissive, the parents become very happy. So the son gets married and the son along with his wife comes to home, pay obeisances to his father, mother. And if the son asks, now we are married, please tell us how we can serve you. You have done enough thing. Now you take rest and we will take responsibility of the household things and we will serve you also. अभी आपको कुछ कुकिंग करने की जरूरत नहीं है, कुछ घर की सफाई करने की जरूरत नहीं है. She will take care of everything. So mother will be very happy, right? Father will be very happy. Oh, they are going to serve me. And when the children are submissive, what does the parent do? So bhagyapati bhava, khush raho, dudo puto phalo nahao, whatever the blessings they give. So Brahma is very happy with the submissive attitude of Manu Maharaj, that you both want to serve me, very nice. All blessings unto you. Sada khush raho. But aajkal to kya hota hai, the whole situation is completely different. The son comes to father, now we are married, we want to settle in a different house. So patwara kar do. Separate us, give us our property, the sharing of our property. We want to live separately. And the wife doesn't want to stay with the in-laws. She thinks, oh, it's too much burden. I have to serve my husband also and I have to serve these old people also. पति के साथ साथ ही बूढ़े लोगों की भी सेवा करनी पड़ेगी. हाँ, I cannot do that. And she demands, either you choose me or you choose your parents. So children doesn't have the service mode anymore. The submissiveness to serve their parents. And if somebody is very submissive, they can actually get all the prosperity in life. Being obedient to father, being serving the parents, it brings prosperity. There are so many examples. We can see the great personalities, all the great kings. They had such a great submission towards their parents. We in Maharashtra, Maratha, what is that? Shivaji Maharaj. Shivaji Maharaj is famous for his submission towards his mother and father. He accepted his mother as his guru. And he became so famous by just serving his mother, following the instructions, the orders of his mother. So people can get unlimited benefit, prosperity, and ultimately they can progress in bhakti also with this service attitude. Because just imagine, Krishna has given us these relationships so that at least we start to act responsibly in those relationships. If we are not acting responsibly in these relationships, when we come to Krishna, when we come in contact with devotees, how are we going to act responsibly towards Krishna? We will run away from Krishna again. Oh, acting in this relationship is too much. It is too much demanding. I need my independence. So that's why Krishna has given us these relationships. Parents, siblings, spouse. So you become responsible. You act responsibly in these relationships. Be a good human being. Act ideally in all such relationships. That's why Lord Ramachandra shows in all his relationships. His Maryada Purushottam. To show how to act as an ideal king, but also how to act as an ideal husband, ideal father, ideal son, ideal brother, ideal friend. So that's what Lord teaches by his own example. So Brahma is very happy. And he instructs Manu Maharaj what you should do. And what is Brahma's instruction to Manu? Hear carefully. He said, you want to do service unto me and I am serving the Supreme Lord. And what is my service to the Supreme Lord? He has given me the charge of creation and to fill this world with population. So you help me in that task, in serving Krishna, in serving the Lord. So you beget progeny. You beget children. And rule the earth. Rule this world. But not just beget progeny, not just rule the world, but at the same time, you worship the Supreme Lord. That is the responsibility of the father, of the caretaker, of the guardian, to engage in service of Krishna, engage in the worship of the Supreme Lord. So three responsibilities, three instructions Brahma ji gave to Manu Maharaj: beget children, rule the world, worship the Supreme Lord. And while you are ruling the world, it's not that you become an exploiter. You rule the world while protecting the people, while protecting your citizen, your subordinates. Because when you are ruling the earth, ruling the world and protect the citizen, that will please the Lord. Otherwise, all one's effort are useless labor. So if we do all other things, the worldly activities in this world, maintaining our family, you may be a big leader in the society, you may acquire a lot of name and fame, position, but all that is a useless labor if you are not engaged in the service of the Lord, if you don't please the Lord. So people want to have a family life, they want to have a big house, nice house, they want to have children, and then they think, oh, we are too busy with our family life to maintain the house, to maintain the family, maintain the children. Bachchon ko is class mein leke jana hai, us class mein leke jana hai, bachchon ki ye activity, wo activity, and we don't have time to know about God, to serve God, to come to temple, to come to satsang program. So what does scripture say? If you're doing all other things but not serving the Supreme Lord, that is a useless labor. So people in this world, they want to rule. They want to become leaders. But they don't want to offer protection to people. Actually, when people become leader, they want to exploit people. Any genuine, real leader in the society who is working for the welfare of others only without thinking of his own personal agenda, for his own personal comfort and filling his own bank balance, it will be very hard to find in this world these days, especially in Kali Yuga, such a leader. People want to rule, but when they get a position, when they get some power, they want to exploit people. They act more whimsically. Even though there may be some leader who is ruling and who is doing the welfare for the people, protecting the people, but still they are not worshipping the Supreme Lord. They are not the devotee of the Lord. Still it is useless. So one need to, if you really want to be a leader, yes, you become the leader, you rule the people, but you protect the people. At the same time, you worship the Supreme Lord and engage all your subordinates in cultivating that knowledge about the Supreme Lord, engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord. So Manu say, I will do as you say. So Brahma instructed and Manu said, yes, I will do it, whatever you say. But please tell me, what is my place of residence? Where should I live? And actually Manu Maharaj, he know that the people earlier also in previous Kalpa, they have lived on earth. The kings have lived on, ruled on earth. And he is thinking now, where is earth? Earth is submerged in the water, in the waters of devastations. Because at the end of Brahma's Kalpa, the water fills up to the Swargaloka, everything is merged in the water. The partial devastation takes place. And in the next day of Brahma, Brahma again engages in the process of creation. So that is what is going on. Brahma is engaged in the process of creation in his next Kalpa, which is the current Kalpa of Brahma going on. Right, so most of the discussion in scripture, whatever is described, it is based on this current kalpa of Brahma. It's starting from this current day. And we start with first Manu, Savambhu Manu. Right? So this is what Manu and Satarupa we are talking about. So his name is Savambhu Manu and Satarupa. So first Manu Mantra in this current day of Brahma. So Manu Maharaj said, where should I live? Earth is under the waters. So I want to engage in your service. Please do something. Make some arrangement to lift the earth out of the waters. And now Brahma started contemplating. Oh yeah, I completely forgot. I was engaged in the process of creation. Now I see earth is submerged in the waters. How should I bring back earth? How should I bring the earth back to its position? Because if you have a very huge object and you want to put it in a particular place, you need a support system. If you want to put a big ball, maybe you need some sort of some pillars or something to support that. So Brahma is thinking, what should I do? First, maybe I need to build some pillars or something to put the earth back, to put the earth on its place. As Brahma is contemplating, at that time a wonderful thing happened. See, when we want to engage in the service of the Lord also reciprocates. Before we serve the Lord, Lord is willing to serve us. So as Brahma is contemplating, a personality came out of his nose. And he is a boar. A boar-shaped person, a boar-like personality came out of the nose of Brahma, just the size of the tip of the thumb. See, it's as if Brahma sneezed. And as Brahma sneezed, something came out. Right? When you sneeze, what comes out? When you sneeze, some mucus will come out, some water particles or something will come out. These days people are very scared of sneezing. And if you sneeze, maybe the virus, the coronavirus will come out and they want to stay away from you. So Brahma's, from the nostrils of Brahma, a boar came out just the size of the thumb. And as soon as he came out, he became huge, like a big elephant. The size of an elephant. It doesn't mean he became like an elephant. He is a boar. He became like the size of an elephant. And soon he became so big that it was like a big mountain touching the sky. So Brahma is looking at him, wondering, who is this personality? He is looking like a boar, a pig-shaped hog, but looks a very wonderful personality. As soon as he came out of my nose, how wonderful he came out of my nose. And as soon as he came out, he's expanding and expanding. He's become so big, so huge. So all the sages, the other 10 sons of Brahma, right, Marichi, Narada Muni and all, they're also wondering, who is this personality? Is he the Supreme Lord himself? And as they are just thinking, at that time the Lord, who was in the form of a boar, he roared loudly, as if in the approval, yes, whatever you are thinking, that is correct. I am the Supreme Lord who has appeared in front of you in this form of the boar, Varaha. And they started glorifying the Lord with selected prayers. So before we hear about the description of Varahadev, how Varahadev appeared and what he did, it's important to hear about the Phalashruti. What is the result of hearing about the Lord? Actually, the Phalashruti is described at the end. That if somebody hears about the narrations of the Lord, they get this result. So there's one way we can talk at the end. But I think it's better to hear about the Phalashruti so that you become more attentive. Okay. To hear. And hear attentively that, oh, what is the result I'm going to get by hearing about the Lord. So what is the Phalashruti of hearing about the Supreme Lord? When we hear about the Lord, when we hear about the descriptions of the Lord becomes pleased. Ya evametam hari medaso hare katham subhadram katniyamayen shravita bhaktya shavayeta voshatim janardhano asyashu hridaye prasidati. So what does it say? If one hears the leelas of the Lord, shrunavati bhaktaya, with devotion. If one hears the leelas of the Lord with devotion, and if one makes other hear about the leelas of the Lord, then what happens? Janardhano asyashu hridaye prasidati. The Supreme Lord, Janardhana, who is seated in the heart, hridaye prasidati, he becomes pleased. So the Supreme Lord becomes pleased. And when he becomes pleased, what he does? Ya eva metam hari medhaso hare. So hari medhaso. Medhaso. Medhaso means our intelligence. Hari means to har, to steal away, to destroy. So the Lord destroys our this material contaminated intelligence. So that is one meaning. Hari medhaso hare. The Supreme Lord Hari, he steals away our materially contaminated intelligence. Another meaning is Hari medhaso, that our intelligence becomes absorbed on Hari. So he becomes pleased and he gives us more intelligence by which we can understand the Supreme Lord. So he removes the curtain of Maya so that we can understand the Lord better. We can engage in his service, in his bhakti, in a more enthusiastic, determined way. So we should hear the leelas of the Lord with full concentration, with full devotion in the heart, and also make others hear. So when you hear and you go back and you tell others, oh, I heard about this leela of the Lord, I heard about this pastime, or I read about this pastime. When we discuss with others, when we share with others, so you also benefit, others also benefit, and the Lord becomes pleased. So, Lord becomes pleased, that is first result, that is first Phalashruti. And the other further description says, actually there is no need to ask the Lord for anything. If the Lord is pleased, he will give everything by himself. And he will give what is the best for us. See, if we ask the Lord, we may ask something which is of inferior nature, because we don't have enough intelligence. The child goes to the father, and father may ask, you want 100 rupees or one chocolate? The child will say, oh, one chocolate seems very pretty deal, so I will take one chocolate. But in 100 rupees, you can get how many chocolates? Because the child has less intelligence, he asks for an inferior object. So same way, when we ask the Lord, we may ask something which is not really good for us. We think, oh, I need this thing. Oh my Lord, please give me this thing. Actually, I was relating it to this scenario. Sometimes when people get problem in life, right, we think this is the solution to my problem. If somebody lost job, so these days this is a very common scenario. Same in America, somebody is from India on an H-1 visa status, and somebody lost job. Now they're thinking, oh, I will be out of status. I have to go back to India. What will I do? I have to start back again. And I want Lord to give me another job in America to keep me here. Please do something for me. Please arrange something for me. So yes, we can ask that from the Lord. But in a longer run, maybe that's not really beneficial thing for us. Lord has a better plan. He knows what is real interest of us. Maybe going back to India or going back to your whatever country is, that may be more beneficial for you. But if you stay temporarily here for another couple of years, another few more years, you get some other temporary job, you keep extending your stay here, but still your problem, real problem, doesn't get solved. You don't get a permanent residency here. And then after 5-7 years, if you have to go back, then it may be still more problem. Now maybe it's better for you to go back now and get settled there, rather than after going 10 years later and try to now settle there. So Krishna has a higher plan, and we should do, what we should do is accept the plans of Krishna and act according to the will of the Lord, rather than asking the Lord, forcing the Lord to fulfill our desire, our will. So we may ask the Lord what we want, but that may be an inferior thing. Rather than asking the Lord will himself give whatever is best for us. And actually, what is the best for us? To go beyond this material world, go back to the spiritual world, to the kingdom of God, attain love of God. So Krishna is willing to give us the best if we become submissive to the Lord. Krishna generally actually doesn't want to give love to anybody and everybody. He can give the material benefits. He can give even the liberation, merges into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti very easily. But he doesn't give his love so easily. You know why? Because if Krishna gives the love of Godhead to us, if we have love for Krishna, Krishna becomes bound by that love. And Krishna is willing to do anything. He becomes like a puppet. Oh, I am bound with your love. I will do whatever you like. Like the love of gopis. Krishna is willing to dance on the tunes of gopis. So Krishna generally doesn't give his love freely. He can give anything other benefit. But if we really have a submissive mood towards Krishna, that genuine bhakti in the heart, Krishna gives what is best for us. In this material world, we may think, we may claim, I love you. But when you love somebody, then there is demand. Right? People generally ask, oh, do you love me? Yes. Okay, then what can you do for me? Isn't it? But Krishna is not saying that. Krishna is not asking what he can do for you. Krishna is saying, I am ready to do anything for you. So Krishna can give everything, and the best is one doesn't really need to ask anything from Krishna. And asking for our bread and butter, oh Krishna, please give me my daily meal. That is like one does not have faith in God, because he is providing everybody. He has made arrangement for everybody. He is feeding an ant also, an elephant also. He is feeding everybody. Krishna has made arrangement for everybody. One doesn't actually need to ask for that basic maintenance. If we really want to ask something from Krishna, we should ask Krishna, please engage me in your bhakti. Please give me intelligence so I can understand you and I can serve you. How can I become more and more determined to serve you? How I can progress more and more in bhakti? So one should ask for that. Please give me strength so I can serve you while fulfilling my worldly obligations, worldly duties. I can make progress in spiritual life. And who else other than one who is not even at the level of human being can refuse the nectar of narrations about the personality of Godhead, which by itself can deliver one from all material pains? So hearing about the Lord, surrendering ourselves to the Lord, can drive away all our sufferings. So in that sense, everybody should be very eager to know about Krishna, to serve Krishna. But then still we see people don't want to take to that process. They are not interested in that. They don't want to know God. They don't want to serve God. there is no interest in hearing or chanting the name of Krishna. So in the Phalashruti, the sages who are praying to the Lord, they are making a comment that who else will not like to hear about you? Who will not like to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His Leelas? Only the person who is not a human being. It's not that they are talking about the animals. That, oh, the animals, they don't have any interest. Yes, animals don't have the capacity to hear Harikatha and chant the holy name. If you invite a dog from the street, come, we are having a satsang program, Bhagavad Katha is going on. The dog is not going to come and sit here and listen. He is sitting there outside and barking. Sometimes you see God, the dog is just keep looking at the sky and barking. And you wonder, what is he looking at? What is he barking at? But their whole business is just keep barking. The cat will keep meowing and dog is barking and they fight with each other. But they don't have any interest to listen about or to know about God. But if the human beings also have the same propensities, they are at the level of animals. They are not even at the human level. So one should hear about the God rather than being engaged in all this mundane gossip or thinking about just his family obligations, family responsibilities. One should engage in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam of the Supreme Lord. People who don't show interest in Harikatha, they are just like animals. And actually in the second canto of Bhagavatam, also it describes the situation of the people who have no interest in hearing about the Lord or serving Him. He says, one who does not have heard the message, the activities of the Personality of Godhead, and who has not sung or chant loudly the worthy songs about the Lord, they are having the ear holes like the hole of a snake and having the tongue like the tongue of a frog. Because the frog is just doing croaking. Ultimately, he is swallowed by a snake. He is finished. So same with a person who is not interested in hearing about the Lord, chanting the holy name of the Lord, they are wasting their life and they are entering into the mouth of the Kala. Kala Sarpa. They are just wasting their valuable time utilizing their tongue in just mundane gossip. And the head of somebody, if it doesn't bow down in front of the Lord, is just like a useless burden. Sometimes somebody may be having a very heavy turban on the head, a silken turban or a very big crown on the head. And if that person is drowning, that same turban or that crown, that heavy weight of those things causes further drowning of that person. So same way, if a person doesn't bow down his head in front of the Lord, it's just a useless burden on the shoulders. The head, which is straight because of pride, doesn't bow down in front of the Lord, in front of the great devotees of the Lord, it causing one's further fall down, further degradation in the material world. And the eyes, which do not look at the form of the Lord, if somebody doesn't visit the temple and look at the beautiful deities of the Lord, his eyes are just like the plumes on the peacock feather. The peacock feather has eye-like shapes, that plumes, but one cannot see. It doesn't see. So same way these eyes, if they don't engage in looking at the beautiful form of the Lord, they are useless. And the legs which do not move to the holy places, they are considered like the tree trunks. A tree is just standing at one place, doesn't move anywhere. The person may be going at many places, but if he is not visiting the holy places, he is just like a jadavastu, just like a tree trunk. So the scripture defines many these things. So the Palashruti is hearing about the Lord. It drives away all the contamination from the heart. It establishes bhakti in the heart and the Lord becomes pleased. See, that's why Shravanam. Shravanam is the most important limb. Hearing. The Navda Bhakti process, what is the first limb? Shravanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So you hear, then you speak the glories of the Lord, and then you remember the Lord. And then comes service, Pada Sevanam. So somebody is doing service, yes, that is very good. But along with that, hearing is also very important. Right now, somebody may have enthusiasm of engaging in service. But if they are not regularly hearing, that same service may seem to become like a burden. Oh, why am I doing this? Why week after week, day after day, I am engaging in this service? And person loses that interest in service. So hearing is more important or very important. Along with the hearing, yes, continue, engage in the service of the Lord. But if somebody minimizes the hearing and engages in service, that person doesn't last long. It may be just temporary service for short time. So hearing about the Lord becomes erect in the heart and becomes very pleased, and he can give anything without our asking. So that's why one should very attentively hear about the Supreme Lord. Now hear how Varadev appeared and what did Varadev do. So Varadev appeared from the nostrils of Brahma. He became huge, assumed a very gigantic form like a big mountain. And all the sages are wondering, who is he? Who is this personality? Is he the Supreme Lord? And the Lord roared loudly. In agreement, yes, your understanding is correct. And then Lord rose into the sky. He has a big tusk and big hooves. And his jumping into the sky seems like he is piercing the clouds. He is piercing the clouds or he is kicking the clouds. As the elephant sometimes play with the ball, elephant kicks the ball. So the Lord, with his hooves, he is kicking these clouds like the ball, scattering them in the sky. And then the Lord is ready to dive into the waters, into the ocean, to search for earth. And as he is diving, actually he is acting like a hog. He has assumed the form of a hog. And how does a hog do? How does a hog act? Sniffing. Smelling and searching for something. So, even though he is the Supreme Personality of God, but he is just acting like a hog searching for earth by smelling, he entered, he dived into the waters. And as he dived into the waters, he is piercing the ocean from the middle. And the big waves of the ocean are rising up. The high waves, they appear like the arms of the ocean. As if the ocean with the raised arms. The two waves are rising like the two arms of the ocean, the personality of ocean, Varunadev. He is coming with the two raised arms. Oh my Lord, please protect me. Please do not cut me into two pieces. Right, so Varadev is diving into the ocean. The ocean is coming out with two raised arms. Please do not cut me in two pieces, like at the time of Lord Ramachandra also. When Lord Ramachandra wanted to cross the ocean, he requested Varundev, give me the way. And Varundev, he did not appear. He kept quiet. And after 3 days of worship to please Varundev, when he did not appear, Lord Ram became very angry. Took his bow and arrow and was ready to shoot at Varundev, shoot at the ocean. Just seeing the anger of Lord Ramachandra, the whole ocean starts to boil. Just, he has not shot the arrow yet, just because of his anger, the ocean started to boil and the Varundev finally appeared. Oh, please forgive me, I did not pay attention to you, please forgive me, please protect me. So same way now also as Varahadev is diving into the ocean, he is cutting the ocean into two waves and going deep into the ocean searching for earth. Finally, Varahadev saw the earth at the bottom of that ocean, water in the oceans. So Varahadev picked earth, brought the earth onto the surface. So now this Varahadev appearance is the first Manu mantra we are speaking about, right? The Sarambhu Manu. To lift the earth from the Garbhodak oceans, where it has submerged due to the waters of devastation. So while Maitreya Rishi is describing this particular incident, he is very ecstatic. And he starts to explain the another incidents of another Varahadeva also. He combines these two incidents. That, oh, Lord Varahadeva, he brought the earth back from the depth of the ocean. And at that time, a demon, the Adidaitya means the original demon, the first demon. Who is that? He is referring to Hiranyaksha. So the Adidaitya, he approached that time. He approached with his club, Gada. He wanted to have fight with the Lord. So Maitreya Rishi started describing that pastime also. That the Adidaitya, he approached that, he wanted to fight with the Lord. He approached with his Gada and the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. The Sudarshan disc became very angry. And the Lord killed that demon. So Maitreya Rishi just described very briefly. Lord Varahadev picked up the earth. While he came out, Adaitya came. And Varahadev killed that Daitya also. So now, who is this Daitya? First of all, what is a demon? Who is a demon?
Hiranyaksha,
that is that personality. But who is a demon generally in terms of mentality? We are not talking about a person. We are talking about the demon mentality. So who is a demon? One who does not abide by the laws of God. He wants to have his personal sense enjoyment without any discrimination, without considering any rules and regulation. So that is a demoniac person. They just want their pleasure. Me, 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 me. All I care about myself. I don't care about what happens to others. So that is a demonic mentality. Actually, once Virochana, right, who was the king of the Daityas, he heard that there is a knowledge, the great knowledge. After getting that knowledge, everything is to be known. One can achieve everything. From where can I get that knowledge? So Brahma can give you that knowledge. And Indra also, at that time, he also heard about this. So Virochana and Indra, they both came to Brahma. We heard there is some knowledge. By hearing, by getting that knowledge, everything is known. One can achieve everything. Brahma said, yes, there is something like that. I can give you that knowledge. But first, live in this ashram, stay here, do some seva. Then when the right time comes, I will give you the knowledge. So both Virochan and Indra, they started living there in the ashram. They are doing nice service. See, at that time, that was the culture, right? People will live in the ashram of the Guru. They will do some service to the Guru. And then Guru will give knowledge. These days, if you go to somebody, demand, I want answer to this question right now. Can you tell me? If you cannot tell me, Tata, bye bye, I can ask somebody else. So there is no humility, there is no submissive mood. It's just based on, I want, you tell me. So Virochana and Indra started saying in the ashram there, and they continued like 32 years. And they are doing. They are not complaining. आप बर्तन मजवा रहे हैं, झाड़ू लगवा रहे हैं, अभी बताइए भी तो सही, हमें knowledge भी तो दीजिए. So they continued serving, and then Brahma said, okay, I am very happy with your service. Now I will give you the knowledge. So tell me, what do you want to know? So we wanted to know What is that knowledge? By knowing whom everything is known. So Brahma said, okay, all right, come with me. So Brahma took them in front of a pond and asked them, look inside the water and tell me, what do you see? So they both looked into the water. When you look in the water, what do you see? Your own reflection, your shadow. So they said, we see ourselves. Indra said, I see me. Virochan said, I see myself. So we see ourselves. Brahma said, all right. Now go back, dress up nicely. Put on nice garments, nice crown, nice jewelry and all, come back. So they went back, dressed up nicely, came back. Now again look into the water. What do you see? So they again looked into the water, the reflection. Oh, I see myself. I see myself nicely dressed. So Virochan said, yes, I see myself nicely dressed. Okay, so you see yourself, that is the real knowledge. So that is the ultimate knowledge. So knowledge about yourself. To know yourself is the best knowledge. So that is what you see, that is what you have gained. Now go back. So Virochan and Indra, they thought, oh, real knowledge is to know ourselves. That I am this person and I can enjoy nicely. So that is the best knowledge. To enjoy ourselves, to serve or to enjoy your own senses, your own this thing, that is the ultimate knowledge. So Virochan went back. He went back to all the Daityas and told, I got the ultimate knowledge. To know yourself, that oh, I am this person, I am this body, and to enjoy it to the fullest extent, that is the best knowledge. So go enjoy. See, I spent 32 years in the ashram of Brahma. I am giving this knowledge to you freely, without charging you. So the best knowledge is to know yourself and enjoy it to the fullest extent. And as Indra is also going back, he had a doubt. He got a doubt. That cannot be the real thing. Maybe there is something else. He came back to Brahma. I'm not satisfied with this. That oh, you are who you are. That is the ultimate knowledge. Just know yourself and enjoy. And then Brahma said, okay, you want to get the ultimate knowledge? So stay again. Again stay in the ashram and I will tell you again. And so Indra again stayed. He served Brahma and then from Brahma he got the real knowledge. Know yourself. Who you are, who is your real, what is your real identity as the soul, and who is our master, the Supreme Lord. And we need to serve the Supreme Lord. So to know yourself, that is the best knowledge. Yes, that is true. But people know themselves as, oh, I am the body, I need to enjoy in this world. And they are just utilizing all their time like that. And that is the demonic mentality. To just try to enjoy to the fullest extent without considering any rules and regulation. They want to exploit all the resources of this material nature. So Hiranyaksha, he came there. He said, oh, wow, you are picking this earth. Leave it there right now. This is my property. It belongs to me. I want to enjoy the resources of this earth. See, earth is also called Vasundhara. Dhara, who has a lot of opulences. And Hiranyaksha, his name is Hiranyaksha. Aksha means eyes, Hiranya means gold. So one meaning is with golden eyes. Another meaning is whose eyes are on gold. So Hiranyaksha, the demonic mentality, who just want to get more, more, more. I want to enjoy. This is my thing. This is my property. So he want to exploit. Right? This is what the demonic mentality is. These days people in the world are at the level of demonic mentality. They want to exploit the resources of nature. We are wasting or we are spoiling the waters in the rivers and oceans. Polluting the rivers and ocean. We are polluting the air in the sky. We are extracting all the resources from the earth, from the mines. People want to drill out all the petroleum and the minerals and iron and everything, right? So people want to take everything away, utilize to their fullest or enjoy to their fullest extent without considering for anybody else, what will happen to others? So the human has become completely to the level of animal, to the level of complete demonic mentality. They think we are the only species here who need the resources of earth, don't care for any other species of life. So that's why it says, if only one species can be make it extinct, everybody else can become very happy and peaceful on earth. And that one species is the human species. If the human becomes an instinct, everybody else can live very happily and peacefully on earth. So the demonic mentality is to spoil, to exploit everybody else, the resources. And that's how Hiranyaksha came there, who wanted to take earth away. So when Maitra Rishi is describing all this, to the point to understand, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, that Maitra Rishi is describing these two different instances of Varahadeva's appearance. One instance is in the first Manvantara, Savimbhu Manu, to bring the earth out of the waters of devastation. And the second instance, so the first instance is called Shweta Varaha, the white color Varaha. And the second instance of Varaha's appearance is in sixth Manvantara, Chakshusha Manvantara. Because Hiranyaksha was the son of Diti. Okay, and Diti was the daughter of Daksha. And they come in the sixth Manvantara. So this Hiranyaksha was in sixth Manvantara, and at that time, because of their exploiting the earth was out of balance. Because they tried to take out all the resources of earth, it became imbalanced and it went into the waters. And at that time, Lord appeared, Varahadeva appeared to bring the earth out and again to put back in its orbit. At that time, Hiranyaksha came there and challenged the Lord. So that second incarnation, the second instance of Varahadeva appearance is the Neela Varaha, the bluish complexion Varaha, which appeared in the sixth Manvantara. So here Maitra Rishi is briefly combining together these two instances, and Vidura is later going to ask this question. Can you please explain more detail? Who was this Hiranyaksha? From where he came? Why he was fighting with the Lord? Why he challenged the Lord when he was bringing the earth out? And then Maitra Rishi goes in the whole background, in the whole history. How Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were born and what all things happened. So it will come in the next chapters. So Varahadev brought the earth out, established it in its position, killed the demon. And at that time, the sages are glorifying the Lord. They are offering their prayers to the Lord. That you are the yajna personified. You are the personification of the sacrifice. Who else but you could have brought the earth out in its position? So Lord came out with the earth, holding it on its tusk. And there is one deity of Varahadev, only one deity of Varahadev, holding the earth on its tusk. That deity is in Mathura. And in that deity form, you can clearly see Varahadev holding the earth on its tusk here, and the earth is represented as round. And that deity has existed for millions of years. So originally, people had that knowledge, the sages had the knowledge that earth is round. See, in modern science, when this knowledge came, that earth is round, just 500 years ago. Right? 500 years ago, people finally understood, oh, earth is round. Earlier, their thinking was earth is flat. If we keep sailing, one day we'll fall in the ocean. But this knowledge is present in the Vedic scripture for thousands and thousands, millions of years ago actually. So the deity is there, Varahadev deity. How that deity manifested? Actually, the Supreme Lord himself in his form as Kapiladev, when he was there. So he saw that deity in his samadhi, that Varahadev's form, holding that earth on his tusk. And Kapiladev carved that. He built that deity of Varadev holding the earth. And Kapil Dev used to worship that deity daily. And at that time, all the demigods, Brahma, Indra, everybody used to come and worship the Lord. And Indra was so much attracted to that deity. He liked that deity so much, the beauty of Varadev. He requested Kapil Dev, can you please give this deity of Varadev to me? So Kapil Dev gave that deity of Varadev to Indra. Indra took it to Swarga and he worshipped that deity of Varadev there. When Ravana was there and Ravana attacked on Indralok, he defeated Indra, made him his prisoner. At that time, he captured that deity of Varadev. So, Ravana got victory on Swargalok, got that deity, he brought it back to Lanka. And when Lord Ramachandra came, he defeated Ravana, he killed Ravana. At that time, Vibhishana, he did not want to part away from that deity. And actually, later on, he gifted that Varadev deity to Lord Ramachandra. When Lord Ramachandra returned back to Ayodhya. So from Kapil Dev, it went to Indralok. From Lord Kapila, it went to Indralok. From Indralok, it came to Lanka. From Lanka, it went to Ayodhya. And at that time, when Lord Ramachandra sent Shatrughan to fight with one king, his name was Lavanasur. So when Lord Ramachandra sent Shatrughan to fight with Lavanasur, who was the king of Mathura at that time, so he gave that deity of Varadev to Shatrughan to take with him. And after defeating Lavanasur, Shatrughan became the king of Mathura. And he established that deity of Varadev in Mathura. So now that deity is finally still in Mathura. So that is the only one deity of Varadev which is present, which is now in Mathura. It shows Varadev on its tusk lifting the earth. So Varadev brought the earth. He killed the demon. His face was reddish with the blood of the demon. Like an elephant, after it plays in the reddish mud, becomes reddish all around. He has that reddish mud on all over his body. So Varadev is also appearing like that, like a giant elephant like body with reddish all around. And all the sages, the sons of Brahma, they're offering the selected prayers to Varadev, that you are the supreme personality of Godhead, you are the form of sacrifice, the personification of sacrifice. Namo namaste akhila mantra devata dravyaya sarva kritve kriyatmane vairagya bhaktya atmajya anubhavita jnana vidya gurave namo namaha. Lord, you are the supreme personality of Godhead. You are worshipped by the universal prayers, the Vedic hymns and the sacrificial ingredients. We perform the yajna, we offer various ahutis in the yajna, and we recite the names. So the Lord is worshipped by various Vedic hymns with the sacrificial ingredients. And how can you be realized? You can be realized by the pure mind, which is freed from all material contamination. Vairagya bhaktaya, by detachment and by devotion, one can understand the Supreme Lord. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. You are the supreme spiritual master of the whole world. You are the supreme spiritual master of knowledge in devotional service. There is a Krishna Vande Jagat Guru. Krishna is the spiritual master of the whole world. So the sages are offering prayers to Varadev. And then other prayer is, they are glorifying the Lord. They are looking at the beauty of the Lord. You are appearing so beautiful. Now just imagine, in what form Lord appeared? Varaha. Varaha means a hog. If you look at a hog, will it appear beautiful to you? But the sages are glorifying the Lord. You look so beautiful in this form. Because Lord may appear in any form, but he is still the most beautiful. He may appear in the form of a boar also, He may appear in the form of a matsya also, but he is the most beautiful, most attractive. They say, you appear so beautiful with holding this earth on your tusk. It's like an elephant is carrying a lotus flower. As if without any effort, elephant can pluck a lotus flower, hold the lotus in its trunk. Same way, effortlessly, you have brought the earth out of the waters and holding it onto your tusk. And you are appearing so beautiful. Now, another comparison they give is, as a huge mountain, in the early morning, it appears so beautiful, shining with that first sun ray. And if there is a little cloud on the top, it appears even more beautiful. So you are appearing like a huge mountain, and this earth on your tusk is like a small cloud on top. So you're appearing so beautiful. And then they say, this earth is like your wife. And you are the Supreme Father. So we offer our respectful obeisances to the father and mother. So you are the Supreme Father, and earth is the mother, who is the shelter for all the living entities, the residential place for all the living entities. And you have invested your own potency into the earth. So when Lord Varadev brought earth out of the water, actually like Lord Varadev married earth. See, accepted earth as his wife. And he had a son through earth. That is Narakasura. Even though he was the son of the Lord, but because he fell into the wrong association, he became a demoniac personality. And later on, Lord Krishna, in his Krishna Leela, he killed this Narakasura. So, you are the Supreme Father. Earth is our mother. We offer our respectful obeisances to the father and mother. Only you can have delivered this earth. And it is not very astonishing for you who have created this wonderful universe. See, you have brought this earth out of the waters. It's not very astonishing. It's a very simple task for you. After all, you have created this whole universe and you are maintaining this whole universe. All these planets are put into their respective places. All the functionality of the universe is going so smoothly. The earth is rotating about the sun. The moon is going in its orbit. The sun is going in its orbit and they are maintaining their proper distances. It's not that earth goes out of its orbit and it gets closer to the sun. All of a sudden there will be so much heat. It will be intolerable and there will be no more life available on earth. But earth goes in its orbit. It stays in its orbit. It's functioning so beautifully, wonderfully. So there is no wonder in that, because there is wonderful Krishna behind this. So if somebody understands that there is an amazing Supreme Lord behind all this, then it doesn't appear very wonderful. Then it says, yeah, this is possible for Lord to do anything. And people, they don't believe in God. They think, oh, everything is just material nature, prakriti. Everything is going on its own. And for the Lord, even though people may deny his existence, he is still okay. He is still maintaining them. People may believe in God, they may not believe in God. They may defy the existence of God, but he is still maintaining them. So that is so wonderful that you are the well-wisher of everybody. So there are so many wonderful things which are happening, but for you, this is not very astonishing. So in that way, the sages started offering the prayers, the selected prayers to the Supreme Lord in the form of Varahadev, form of boar. And after hearing their prayers, the Lord placed the earth on the waters. Means he placed it on its position in the orbit and Lord went back to its abode after accepting their prayers. And as the Lord was keeping the earth, he was shaking his body. And as he's shaking his body, what is happening? The drops, the water, because he is drenched in water, all the water drops are splashing around everywhere. And they are going to all the planetary system up to Brahmaloka, from bottom to Brahmaloka, to Janalok, Maharlok, Tapalok, and all these sages, the sons of Brahma who are maybe in the Janalok or Tapalok, all the water droplets are going on them. And they are saying, we are feeling so blissful. It is so auspicious to receive the water droplets from your body directly. In which form the Lord is? In the form of a hog. If you see a hog outside who is drenched in the water of that gutter system and it shakes its body and some drops come on you, how will you react? Ash. Now I have to go take bath. But the form of Lord, he may be in the form of hog, he is still most auspicious. And the water droplets which are coming from the body of the Lord, coming on their body, on the body of all these sages, they are feeling so blissful. Like say generally in temple, when you bathe the deity of the Lord. So after bathing the deity of the Lord, what is it called? Charanamrit. Right? The nectar from the lotus feet of the Lord. And we drink that nectar or put on our head. Slash on our head. That this is the most blissful, the blessings of the Lord on my head. And even after arati, when we do arati, we offer different things. We offer the aragya, water, in a conch shell. Right? This is like a symbolic bathing of the Lord. That you are bathing the feet of the Lord by putting the water in the conch shell. And after that, the water is splashed on everybody. So we just receive the water which has not directly touched the body of the Lord. We are getting purified in that way. And the sages are saying, we are so blessed that we are receiving the water directly from your body. You are splashing the waters on all of us. That is so auspicious, so purifying. So the sages offered prayers. Lord kept the earth on its position and he went back to his abode. And after that, this Phalashruti is described, which I already mentioned, so that we hear the pastimes of the Lord attentively. What is the benefit of hearing the pastimes, the description of the Lord? The Lord will remove all the contamination from our heart. And he will make our intelligence fixed on the Supreme Lord, right? On himself. And he will become pleased. He is situated in our heart, he becomes pleased. And when he becomes pleased, he can grant everything without ever asking. We even don't have to ask anything. Because if we ask, we will ask for something inferior things, which we think is good for us, but actually it's not beneficial for us. But that when Lord gives from his side, he will give what is most beneficial for us. So one should hear these different descriptions of the Supreme Lord with full concentration, with full faith, nishtha, right? We said earlier, discussed two words, two terminology, shraddha and nishtha. Shraddha is a wavering faith, which is not fixed. Nishtha is fixed faith. So one should hear with faith, with a fixed faith, with full concentration, with devotion in the heart. Varadir Bhagavan ki jai, Grantras Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. So thank you very much. If anybody has any questions, comments, please feel free to ask or add.
Do you know the problem that Hiranyakasipu would take the earth into the sea?
So, when we say Hiranyakasipu took the earth into the waters, the meaning is because of Hiranyakasipu, the earth went into the waters. It fell into the waters. It was caused by Hiranyakasipu. Because they are taking out all the resources of earth, exploiting it, and earth becomes imbalanced. Jaise hum bolte na ki wo cheez gir gaya, if something is kept on the table and then it fell down, a child did something and he maybe pushed it or something and it fell down. And you will tell the child, dekho tumhari wajah se dharti, this object fell onto the ground.
But we have that, like, to fight with the Supreme Lord. Interestingly, Jesus used the word to me, So that Tribhuvana come to fight it.
No, the actual description is the earth has already gone into the waters, fell into the waters from its position, and the Lord has appeared to bring it out of the water and put it back in its orbit. And at that time, this demon Hiranyaksha, who was very powerful, who was torturing all three worlds, he was going to different people with the spirit of fighting. मेरे हाथ में बहुत खुजली हो रहा है, किसी से झगड़ा करना, बताओ कौन झगड़ा करेगा मेरे साथ, कौन लड़ाई करेगा? I want to fight. So he went to Varun Dev also. Varun Dev or Vayu Dev? So he went there and asked him, I want to beg something from you. What do you want to beg? I beg fight from you. Please fight with me. He also sarcastically said, see, I am an old guy. If I fight with you, you will not derive any pleasure fighting with me. I can tell your personality who is a suitable fighter with you. So there is this Varahadev who is lifting the earth out of the waters. You go and challenge him for fight. He will give you proper beating. Then you will enjoy it. So he was sarcastically telling like that. So that is the actual description, how it is described in Bhagavatam.
But that orbit is maintained by the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
But how come that overcome from that orbit and it fell into the
earth? So, see, even though this earth is in its position and there are certain laws which are following, governing this whole system, these demonic personalities, because they were ruling over the heavenly planets, and actually even though the Lord has created the rules, it is maintained by the different agents within this material world, right? The different devatas who are managing those rules. Lord creates a rule, and these different devi devatas, they manage those rules. So the Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they became so powerful that they defeated all the Devi Devatas also. They took over the Swargaloka also. They took over all their resources. And they started changing the rules of the nature also. Mujhe aam khane ka man hai, to sardi mein aam paida hoga. Mujhe angur ka, gajar khani hai, to garmi mein gajar hogegi. So they changed the rules. And change the rules is that everything became hodgepodge, and they change the rule of the earth system also, how the different planet will go in different orbits, and the earth became disbalanced, imbalanced, and fell from its position. So aajkal bhi wahi demonic mentality chal rahi hai. Log bolte hai ki hame har season mein har kuch chahiye, GMO, genetically modified foods. So that is a demonic mentality. They directly change the rules of the universal system, and these so-called scientists and engineers, they try to change at their level, right? We want to change this thing. Oh, abhi har sabji, har phal, har season mein uplabdh rahega. Every vegetable, every fruit will be available in every season. Like the cold storage system and changing the genetics itself. Hame jo क्या है इसको, टमाटर है वो वाटरमेलन के साइज का चाहिए और वाटरमेलन जो है वो टमाटर के साइज का चाहिए, अंगूर जो है वो टमाटर के साइज का चाहिए. सो दे वांट टू चेंज एवरीथिंग, इंजेक्ट टू डिफरेंट सीड्स टू डिफरेंट इंजेक्शन ऑर्गन्स एंड चेंज इनटू डिफरेंट वन. सो चेंजिंग द लॉज ऑफ नेचर, दैट इज अ डिमोनिक प्रोपेंसिटी, डिमोनिक मेंटेलिटी. Because they wanted to play with this universal rules, that's how the earth came out of its orbit.
And what about moon is rotating around this that time? What happened to that?
It doesn't describe anywhere. It says earth fell down. I don't want to do any speculation that what happened to the moon.
Okay.
So basically they were troubling everybody. See, every planet has its Adhishtatri Dev. Right? Moon is just not a planet. We know moon is a personality. Chandra
Deva.
Surya is not just a planet, it's a personality. Vivaswan. And all these Devi Devatas, they were tortured by Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So they were all suffering. They were all in the jail of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu.
Well, that this question is actually one of the places that asking daily bread to Lord is not right.
We can ask, but there is no need to ask. That's what I'm saying. So one can ask for our necessity, and the Supreme Lord, as a loving Father, He will provide. As a child may go to the Father, oh, I need this thing, I need clothes, I need shoes, I need laptop, I need this thing. Father knows what are your needs. And Father is going to give you without your asking. Right? The child actually doesn't need to go and ask for those basic things. Father is going to give, provide those things anyways. So that's why, same way for us, we don't need to pray to the Lord, please give me my basic necessities of life. He is going to take care of all our basic needs. We should be more concerned about what is my duty towards the Lord, how I can serve the Lord, rather than how Lord should serve me.
In certain cases, people are so poor, they cannot get the daily bread.
They can pray. Ultimately, if somebody is poor, why he is poor? Right? Why he is in that particular situation? Even if he is poor, he can pray. Ultimately, it depends if he has that quota or not, if he is going to get that or not. So one can pray to the Lord and Lord will provide his needs. But for us, what is most important is we need to engage in the service of the Lord, and Lord is by default going to provide all these things.
Okay.
So we don't need to extra worry about this thing. That first you give me this, then I will do this for you. We should by default just engage in the service of the Lord and He will take care of everything.
And that way it makes sense. I got one more simple question from you. Like Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. What is the exact meaning of it?
Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. We worship the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is the spiritual master of the whole world.
So how to understand, like, there are many Jagat Gurus now.
No. Jagat Gurus, there will be many Jagat Gurus, but the supreme spiritual master is Lord Krishna himself. From him the knowledge came down. Right? He gave the knowledge to Brahma. Brahma gave the knowledge further. So same way Lord Vishnu gave the knowledge. Lakshmi Devi gave the knowledge. In all that way, knowledge is coming down from the Supreme Lord directly. He is the original spiritual master. He is the original spiritual master of the whole world. So that's how he is the guru of the whole world, Jagat Guru. So Krishna Vande Jagat Guru. Yes, we have our own. So one should not think, oh, Krishna is a Jagat Guru, so I don't need to accept anybody as my spiritual master. I will just try to understand, learn from Krishna. Krishna himself has made this system. Yes, I gave the knowledge down, you receive the knowledge through my representative. And in that way, you can understand me perfectly.
Okay.
So we should approach a spiritual master and understand from him about Krishna. So externally, the guru is the representative of Krishna, to give us guidance, to give us teaching. Internally, Krishna residing in our heart as Paramatma, He is also acting as our spiritual master. And the teachings of the external guru and teaching of internal guru, Paramatma, they match, right? They act together to help us progress in spiritual life.
Okay, and just like, if one do not have access to any spiritual master here, so he can surrender to Krishna as a
take the shelter. Yes. So if one surrenders to Krishna and he has a genuine desire to know about Krishna, to serve Krishna, Krishna will direct him to Guru. That, okay, you are sincere, you have a genuine desire to understand, and Krishna is making arrangement. He will show the way to lead you to a Guru. But if somebody is just having a propensity to be cheated, then he will be led to the cheater gurus. If somebody want to take shortcuts, want to just do the bare minimum, oh, I don't want to follow proper rules and regulation, I just want something. Mujhe kuch bata do jisse mera kalyan ho jaye. If somebody want to be cheated, then there will be cheated gurus also. Cheated gurus, right? They'll say, okay, come to me, you just mera mantra ka jap karo. Mere ashram mein thoda ek bori aate chawal ka bhej do, tumhara kalyan ho jayega. So there are cheaters, people who want to be cheated, and there are people who want to cheat. But if we have a genuine desire to understand Krishna, to engage in his service, then Krishna will lead us to the right path. He will bring us to the right people. He will bring us into the association of devotees. Through that association of devotees, we are led to the spiritual master. And then spiritual master further gives us right knowledge to understand Krishna and to engage in the service.
No questions.
Okay, any other question from the host? The Prabhu already asked. Okay, so if no more question, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Mm-hmm. So, does that mean that the Matsya avatar happened after the white form of Gaur avatar?
So,
it is Manvantar, so not in the first Manvantar?
Yes, so the Matsya avatar, which we know of, that happens at the end of 6th Manvantara. At the beginning of the 7th Manvantara, right, which is the current Manvantara. So the Matsya avatar comes at that time for the king Shraddha Deva to take him on the boat along with all the sages, all the various herbs and all. They put it on the boat, which is tied to the horn of that Matsya, and float around on the water of devastation. And when in the next day of Brahma comes, next Manvantara starts, not next day of Brahma, the waters of devastation goes down, the next Manvantara starts. So the king Shraddha Deva, he becomes the current Manu, which is the 7th Manu. So that Matsya avatar happened in the beginning of this 7th Manvantara. Varaha avatar happened first in the 1st Manvantara, second time in the 6th Manvantara, Chakshusha Manvantara. And all these different avatars happen multiple times. It's not that they happen only once. Even Matsya avatar happened multiple times. One time Matsya avatar happened just to bring the Vedas which were stolen. So he killed that demon and brought back the Vedas. Second time this Matsya avatar happened to take the king Shraddha Deva along with all the sages and other things to until the start of the next Manvantara.
Okay, thank you
very much. Okay, so thank you, bro. Okay, any other questions? No? Okay, thank you very much. Granthraj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai,
Srimad Prabhu ki
jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.